Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? Who Needs Encouragement? Based on our epistle reading, St. Paul's writes these words from a Roman prison cell. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. I would encourage all of our worshipers this morning to take out your worship handout, find there your sermon outline, and follow this outline as we consider our theme, Who Needs Encouragement? The story is told about an overworked mother. Any overworked mothers in the congregation this morning whose initials might be Allison Mann? Wow! Story is told about an overworked mother who was not able to get all of her preparations done before she had a number of friends over for a nice luncheon. She wanted things to be just right for them. And her little daughter, Mary, decided she would encourage her mother by helping out. Mama had to step out and do an errand at a grocery store. And Mary said, Mama, I'll make the special tea for our guests. Mary was asked to make this tea from some very expensive and precious tea leaves. And just when mother got back from running this errand, the guests were enjoying this marvelous tea. And mother said to Mary, Oh, I see that you found the lost tea strainer. And Mary said, No, Mama, I couldn't find the tea strainer, but no problem. I used the fly swatter to strain the tea. Mother almost fainted in front of her guests, and Mary knew that she had to really give Mother another dose of encouragement. So she said, It's okay, Mother. I used the old fly swatter. Encouragement. Who among us here this morning does not need encouragement? Let's talk about encouragement. The church at Philippi really needed encouragement. Paul was writing to them from his cell in a Roman prison. This little church that gathered in Philippi was obviously quite discouraged. They suffered constant persecution by enemies hostile to their Christian faith. There was disunity in the congregation. Their beloved Paul, the pastor that started their church, was in prison, soon to be beheaded because of his fearless preaching of Jesus Christ. They needed him. They wanted him. And Pastor Paul writes these words to this church in Philippi. Philippians 2, 1 to 5. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintain that same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or vain conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you that question today. Who among you this morning does not need encouragement? Just this past Tuesday, it was almost funny. As I was trying to write this sermon about encouragement in my office, from 8 a.m. to 12 noon, no less than 4 different people came to my door. I didn't know they were coming. They all came needing the same thing. What did they need? Encouragement. Now, my role as pastor, I've been in many of your homes. Some of you have been in my church office, and I've seen firsthand that discouragement is so easy to find. It's often been said that discouragement is the devil's best tool. And an old legend described it this way. The devil was having a cleaning house sale, and he decided to sell all of his tools to the highest bidder. And on the table he laid his tools: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, and all the rest. But off to the side was a rusty, dull, well-used old tool that seemed like it was worth nothing. Yet it was priced much higher than all the other tools. And someone asked the devil, "What is that tool?" And he said, "It's my favorite. That tool is called discouragement. It's so worn out because I use it on everybody, and hardly anybody knows it's I that's using it." Well, the devil's asking price for discouragement was so high that nobody bought it. And he is still using that tool right today. We need encouragement. We need encouragers. We need to be encouragers. And the Bible has a wonderful example, a flesh and blood example of an encourager. Today, let's meet this man. His name is Barnabas. And in Hebrew, his name literally means son of encouragement. We will see in his life and in his ministry five marks of an encourager. And I encourage you to turn your eyes to your sermon outline as we follow these five marks of an encourager. First, an encourager is one who sets aside his personal rights for the needs of others. Acts 4 says this: "Now Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, because his name means son of encouragement, Barnabas sold his own land, brought the money, and laid it at the feet of the apostles." Barnabas sold some family property and gave the purchase price to the apostles to support their gospel ministry. Barnabas did not cling on to his personal rights, did not cling on to his personal wealth, but he focused on the eternal needs of others. This is actually the biblical definition of love, by the way. I give up my rights for somebody else's needs. And here's the first mark of an encourager. Look at the second mark on your outline. An encourager stands by others in their time of need. Acts chapter 9. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing he was a disciple of Jesus. But Barnabas took hold of him, and he brought him to the apostles and described how Saul had seen the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus and was now preaching in his name boldly. The Jerusalem church was afraid of Saul. You better know him as Paul. Saul, to this point, had been a terrible persecutor of Christians, hired by the chief Pharisees to hunt down, to seek out, to destroy any who followed in the faith of Christ. But now Saul had changed his name to Paul and became a follower of Jesus, and he wanted to serve him. But the people in the church didn't trust him. The closest comparison I could come up with was this: it would be like Adolf Hitler just coming to a synagogue and saying, "I'd like to worship with you this morning." It was like Osama bin Laden coming to the back door to our usher and saying, "Am I welcome to worship in this place?" Yet Barnabas stood by Saul. He believed in Saul, and he brought him into the very inner circle of the apostles. And you know the rest of the story. Who Paul became and what he accomplished as the greatest of Jesus' apostles. Standing by others is the next mark of an encourager. But now the third mark. An encourager focuses on the positive. The very next mention of Barnabas we have in the book of Acts is when he's a leader in the church of Jerusalem. And he's sent by the leaders of Jerusalem to go to a new church in Antioch. A church in Antioch that's filled with controversy. Listen to what Acts 11 says. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas off to Antioch. He witnessed there the grace of God in Antioch and began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Now, in this situation, anybody could have focused on the negatives going on in the church in Antioch. A negative looker could have said, it needs this, and it needs this, and the people aren't doing that, and by golly, they're not doing that. And you know as well as I do, there are people like this in our homes. People like this in our workplaces. And believe it or not, people like this in our churches. Constantly focusing on the negative and dragging others down. Now, surely Barnabas saw the shortcomings in the church in Antioch. But he's gladdened by their small successes, and he encourages them to remain faithful to Jesus. Focusing on the positive and helping others to be doing better is a third mark of a Barnabas, an encourager. And next, note your outline, the fourth mark of an encourager is to help people remain faithful to Jesus. The best type of encouragement doesn't come when someone says, just hang in there. You just try harder. No. The best type of encouragement for God's people comes when someone reminds you to remain faithful to God and then watch Him take care of you and meet your every need. Acts 11:23 puts it this way. Barnabas began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And what was the result of Barnabas's encouragement? The very next verse says this. And then considerable numbers were brought to the Lord in Antioch. Next and last, an encourager is one who promotes others ahead of themselves. Listen to Acts 11:25 and 26. Barnabas then left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And he brought him to Antioch for a year. And they met with the church and they taught them. And the disciples were first called Christians in the church of Antioch. Barnabas went to Saul, Paul's hometown in Tarsus, to fetch him and bring him to help him do work in Antioch. Now, this was a risky matter. It was risky for Barnabas because Paul was talented. Paul was well known. Paul had a strong personality. The risk for Barnabas was to jeopardize his own personal status as the leader in Antioch. But you see, encouragers strive to promote others, not protecting their own status. And note this carefully in Acts 13. Now, when the meeting in Antioch had broken up, many of the people followed Paul and Barnabas, who were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. Did you catch it? It might have been so subtle you didn't hear what was happening there. In Acts chapter 11, we're told Barnabas and Paul met with the church. But now by Acts 13, it's reversed. Paul and Barnabas did this. Paul and Barnabas did that. Paul is now number one, and Barnabas number two. But that was okay because encouragers promote others and are willing to take a back seat so that others can be in the spotlight. Now, as our sermon ends, we're back with Paul. now in a Roman prison about to be beheaded because of his testimony for Christ, and he writes his farewell letter to the church in Philippi. Listen to his words. Because here he tells the church his true source of encouragement. His encouragement that will not let him down, although he knows his head will soon be bowed on a Roman chopping block. Paul writes, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of a man." My friends, Jesus gave up his divine rights and glory for our needs and our salvation. Jesus literally crucified his personal rights to meet our eternal needs, to die, to pay for our sins, to die our death, to destroy for us the power of sin, death, and devil. And here again is that biblical definition of love. I will give up my rights to meet the needs of others. This truth is no better found in that most famous of all Bible passages. You can say it with me if you want, from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. For God still so loves the world." Margaret, Joan, Robert, Stephen, Franz, "For God still so loves you." Be encouraged by that. And Jesus, God's Son, was faithful to all of us to death. Paul continues and says, "And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Do you ever get discouraged and believe the lies of the devil and the sinful world when they whisper into your ears this question, "Does God really love you?" And then have you ever, in response to that, asked this question, "Does God really love me?" My friends, never answer that question on the basis of your rapidly changing feelings or life circumstances. Look to the cross of Jesus. And would you do that this morning with me? Look to the cross of Jesus, your Savior. See there God's love for you in the flesh and blood of Jesus. Be encouraged by this. The cross of Jesus Christ shows you how precious you are to Almighty God. Finally, Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, "For this very reason, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is risen from the grave and is victorious over sin, death, and devil. And all that he has done for you. He is with you always, but as Paul said, he is also exalted in the highest place of heaven. And there, he waits to welcome you to your eternal destiny when this short life is over. Be encouraged by that. Your victory is won. Your heaven is prepared. And now our final story. The story is told of two generals from many years ago. One went out early at daybreak and found a sentinel at his guard duty fast asleep. And that general promptly stabbed him through the heart with a note that said, "I found him asleep, and there I have left him." In another time and place, Another general found a sleeping sentinel at his guard post. But this general, gently, without waking the man, took his own rifle and walked his guard duty. Upon waking, the soldier threw himself at his general's feet, begging for his life. He knew what the penalty would be. But that general said to him these words, "My son, be at peace. The secret is ours. Let your heart be encouraged. I only ask you to do the same to another discouraged soldier in your life in the future." My friends, the lies of the devil and this sinful world would destroy us with words of discouragement because of our failures. But Jesus, our general, never ceases coming to us with his forgiveness, with his love, with his encouragement. May we, like Barnabas, the son of encouragement, adopt a life of encouragement for the sake of the world, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, amen.